All right.
Fields.
Your last agenda item is coming up, Mr. Dr. Press.
Yeah, item 27 is my executive officer's report on, I'll skip to page 7 unless you have questions on the water quality certifications.
Yes, I have a question. Yes, I do. We have two applications withdrawn, but they're still listed, for sand and gravel mining on the Salinas River. One is the Estrella.
Which page are you on?
On page 2, Chad Pankey, Indian Valley Sand and Gravel from the Salinas River, and Paul Viborg on page 3, Sand and Gravel from the Estrella River.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to hear a little bit more about that. I guess I'm surprised that we see applications coming forward for mining sand and gravel. I guess I need to know more about it. But is there anything more you can tell us about? Are these applications withdrawn because they no longer intend to pursue it, or is there a pause here in a process that we'll see resume? And what do we consider when we're looking at sand and gravel mining? And I presume this is dry season in the Salinas.
Yeah, we have sand and gravel operations up in the San Benito River as well, which I believe are phasing out. And one of the main issues with these is the geomorphology of the river systems and making drastic changes in the sediment and sediment load, and which can cause problems far downstream.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why these are listed as application withdrawn. I did just sign a letter to the county regarding the Viborg one, which was responding to Mr. Viborg appearing before the Board of Supervisors and complaining about our comment letter to the Board of Supervisors and questioning our authority. And I just signed a letter which provided some additional explanation for why we were doing that. So I actually thought that was still active. And Matt Thompson, I'm sure, has more information than I do on it.
Yeah, you asked why those two applications were withdrawn. In order to obtain water quality certification, you first have to satisfy the California Environmental Quality Act. They had not done that. We told them that we were going to deny their application without prejudice because they did not have a complete application, and so they chose to withdraw their applications until they could satisfy CEQA.
But they didn't indicate that they're not going to pursue the CEQA. Did they tell you one way or the other?
My staff may be aware of that, but I'm not aware. Last I've seen, they're still trying to pursue it. They're trying to get approval through the county right now, as Roger said.
And if they do pursue CEQA, will staff review and comment on the document, and you have a say in mitigation? And
they are currently pursuing CEQA, and staff has already commented on these two projects with concerns that we expect them to address.
Matt, didn't the County Planning Commission hold a hearing on this just recently and decided that they were going to require an EIR for these instead of doing a negative deck as they have in the past?
I believe so. The only news I have is through the local news. They have to go through the Planning Commission first before they go to the Board of Supervisors. But I don't know if they're requiring a full-blown EIR. But
that was my understanding.
The gist of our comment letter was that because there are so many of these going on in the upper Salinas watershed, that we want the applicants to look at the cumulative effects rather than piecemealing the projects.
Mm-hmm.
And if the county agrees, then they will likely have to do a full-blown environmental impact report, which will take quite a while.
Thank you, and I'm glad to hear that because, from what I understand of the Salinas River in particular, and as Roger said, the impacts to the dry riverbed, to my way of thinking, are going to continue to degrade. the river system and the riparian areas adjacent to where this mining is going on. And, you know, if we're trying to stop other uses that we consider inappropriate, like off-road vehicle use of the dry river bed in the summertime, et cetera, I just don't understand why we're still issuing permits for people to go in and harvest sand from the bottom of the river. Anyway, thank you. I'll look for updates on that.
Also, when I just mentioned Mr. Viborg, I think I may have said he was before the Board of Supervisors, but that was probably the Planning Commission. Correction. Okay. On page 7 on Karen Worcester's regional monitoring report, just wanted to point out down at the bottom of the page there that she indicates that CCAMP, Central Coast Ambient Monitoring Program, is on track in the Santa Barbara coastal watersheds going into the dry weather toxicity, 24-hour monitoring for oxygen, SAGs, et cetera. And she also points out that for the first time in many years, the lab contract was on schedule. And it's because of our funding through the CCAMP endowment that we haven't been subject to budget cuts that affect other parts of our program. And that I just want to point that out because it does show, as we talked about in February, with the value of funding this with the endowment, that we can kind of weather the budget storms a little bit better, or a lot better. So I want to point that out because I got something else to say about the budget in a second. On the irrigated ag program on page 8, under inspections, it says staff is conducting comprehensive watershed-wide inspections in the Santa Maria area, beginning with Osoflaco Creek watershed. And with your action today with the watershed coordinator and being able to continue that work, I think that should be able to dovetail well with what the coordinator's doing. So we're talking about inspecting all the growers in a watershed and identifying watershed scale problems, but with individual operators. So I think that's going to allow us to get to the sources of the problems more quickly than if we were not doing that.
Mr. Briggs?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me where Napomo Creek falls in the inspection plan?
No, I can't.
Given what we saw yesterday?
No, I can't. It, of course, is a tributary of the Santa Maria River. I have to check on that, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, that would be great to see if we can get nexus with this effort. On that location, since we just saw some really nasty photos of some problems there.
And I know Mary Adams has sampled in that area, so I'm guessing this is included, or Napomo Creek's included, but that's just a guess, so let me check and let you know. Then also it says at the bottom of that paragraph, staff is following up on complaints expressed by Ms. Robin Lee about runoff in the Baranda area. You might remember that at our Watsonville meeting, she spoke during public forum about those. After the meeting, I went and talked to her to get more specifics, and I asked staff to follow up. So that's what's happening here. Let's see. And then it talks about the 5 administrative civil liability complaints regarding the non-filers, and that all 5 have enrolled and paid up their monitoring fees. I put a little bit of information here on the budget as far as what we knew at the time of this writing. And in the meantime, I have some more specific information. Let's see. BCPs are budget change proposals, and they can go both ways. In this case, I've got a list here of budget change proposals that provided increases in funding, which you're probably surprised to hear there's any of that, but that's on a statewide basis. There are 20.3 PYs for some very specific areas. For example, there are 2 of them are for Lake Tahoe. 4 of them are for nurdles. Anybody remember what nurdles are?
Yeah, nurdles are bad for turtles.
Yes, that's right. The little plastic pellets. And we don't have any of those manufactured in our region, so those went to the urban areas. Anyway, so the sum there is that there are 20.3 PYs augmentation for the water boards. For our region, the grand total is 0. About 37% of those go to the state board, and the rest to other regions. However, we did get our share of the pie when it comes to cuts, and so as part of the reductions, and of course this is not inked yet because the budget hasn't been signed, but as far as what's been floated by the administration and what we understand to be our share of the cuts, we have 37.4 PYs statewide in the water board system to cut, which means that it overshadows that 20 PY augmentation by and gives us a net change statewide of a minus 17 PYs in our region. For this year, we have to come up with a 0.5 reduction in our general funded programs. Those are things like it's partial funding of our spills program, all of our timber program, most of our TMDL program, smaller part of our underground tank program, and all of our water quality control planning or basin planning program. So a 0.5 cut out of general funded programs. I didn't mean to imply that all those are cut, it's just that we need to figure out how to take the lowest priority hit, you might say. Then there are additional unfunded general fund PYs of point, in our case, for our region, 0.7. And then there are bond reduction PYs, which in our organization we use bond funds for part of our ag regulatory program, pretty much all of our grants administration, and for a smaller part of our stormwater program. So we have to come up with 1.2 PYs and cuts among those programs. So the total for this year thus far, again not inked, but is a minus 2.4 in PYs that we're going to have to absorb. I think we have two vacancies now because we were planning on two. So, and of course there's a hiring freeze, so that means we're not going to be able to fill those vacancies, and we'd have to come up with another 0.4 PYs, which I'm certainly hopeful will come from the fact that there's about a 7% vacancy rate statewide, and that we'll be able to borrow from another agency until things stabilize. So that's not exactly unexpected given the budget crisis, but that's the information that we have thus far as our budget status. Any questions on that? I wanted to mention to you that the governor declared emergencies after the fires in, you know, throughout the state, including several fires in our region. Part of the aftermath of that emergency declaration was to do these assessments, burned watershed assessments, and they have these teams that are called SEAT, S-E-A-T, which stands for State Emergency Assessment Teams. For the Monterey County fires, we actually got help from Region 5. We had a staffing problem in terms of matching up people, the priority of their work, and their training necessary to go out in the field and do this assessment work. So we were grateful to the Central Valley region, Jim Pendery up in Redding, to loan us someone who was already doing that work, already trained and everything, to come in and work on the Monterey County assessment. On the Santa Barbara County fire, it's called the Gap Fire, the Office of Emergency Services folks interviewed Santa Barbara County people and decided that Santa Barbara County was way ahead of the game in terms of the assessment they'd already done, and there wasn't any more that really needed to be done there. And then in the Santa Cruz fires, there were two major fires up there in Santa Cruz Mountains, and Julia Dyer of our staff has been, I believe she's been participating on that, and I don't know how that's worked out in terms of how much time is required. Initially, we were told it'd just be a few days. Maybe it's grown. So that takes away a little bit from her time towards timber harvest, but it seemed to me it kind of made sense because it is in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Those are watersheds where we have sediment problems, for example, and that's what a lot of the assessment work has to do with, is assessing where there are going to be major sediment debris flow problems and any health and safety problems that may come from that. So that's the burned watershed assessment work that's going on. I wanted to mention to you that the Water Quality Coordinating Committee meeting is coming up. It's scheduled for August 27th, 28th in Sacramento. Our chair proposed, with some help from staff here, an item on the agenda, which is a proposal that Michael Thomas has been working on regarding a statewide education program regarding low-impact development. And it's a multi-agency effort. And you're going to have a call Monday night about that, right?
Well, just the chairs.
The chairs.
The chairs.
But the Water Quality Coordinating Committee. Yeah, as far as the agenda for the Water Quality Coordinating Committee, that's going to be part of your call. So we'll see if they take us up on that. And let's see. Oh, Mr. Shallcross gave us information about a couple of developments up your way where there was construction, and I guess with the housing slump.
No construction, just grading.
Grading, and they have kind of stopped operations, right?
Yeah, so
yeah, I appreciate your passing that information on to us. And Matt Thompson has asked all of his stormwater staff to contact all the local agencies regarding this fact that there may be a problem with the housing slump and then failure of developers to button up their sites as they should. And that's it for my report.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Sure.
Thank you. I think that concludes our meeting.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. So Dr. Press.
Thank you. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you
for everything.
Daniel.
You're my idol.
Okay.